At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Glad to be here with you this morning. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester. It is a Monday. We're getting you ready for the week. And we got to start off by saying that we're thinking about and praying for the folks in Grinnell and Plevna here this morning, as both of those towns were hit hard by tornadoes yesterday in a pretty dangerous and destructive outbreak. Missed the Wichita area, but it did not miss everybody. And it got those two towns. So we're thinking about them, all our folks up there that might know people up there or are headed up there to help. We're thinking about all you guys. So we start the week here in Sports Daily, though, with a busy slate. We've got all kinds of stuff. The Royals, a tough weekend for the Royals. They salvage a disastrous weekend, but a tough weekend nonetheless. We'll get into their current situation and how things are going. We'll look at the NHL and the NBA playoffs a little bit. Scottie Scheffler gets another major win. We'll get Tommy's take on that, our golf guy. And what just exactly what that means, all kinds of other storylines bouncing around here. Programming note, we should have Paul Mills on tomorrow morning. He is ready. He's going to do a big media briefing later in the day to talk about this class. I think everything's official now, so they're trying to get that out there and let everybody know about these new players, and we'll have him on even before that tomorrow morning, bright and early. So set your timer to that, Shocker fans, and we'll hear from Coach Mills himself on how all this is coming together. But here we are. Happy Monday, Tommy. How are you?
Yeah, it was good. Good weekend. You know, looking forward to getting into everything today. I feel like they're, you know, it was a pretty impactful weekend. You mentioned the Royals, but of course the NBA playoffs, which are the Oklahoma City Thunder move on. In seven games, they absolutely dismantle the Nuggets. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously a lot going on in NHL playoffs. There's a lot to get to today on the show.
There is, and we will, and it's a little groggy here this morning, so we're glad we have Prairie Fire Coffee. I'm sure a lot of us were watching the storms last night, just making sure that whatever happened, but the one that got Plevna was up very, very late, after 1 a.m., I think. So here we go again today. Make sure you've got your Storm Team 12 app and everything handy for you to get alerts in case you are in bed or whatever it is, and keep it tuned to all the Odyssey family of stations now with a partnership coming up here pretty soon with Storm Team 12. We're glad to have those resources out there here in what about a week and a half, Tommy, for that. So that'll be good. That'll be nice, too. Our guy Rodney Price out there chasing the storms. He arrived there on Plevna, one of the first on scene there. Late tonight, you hear him all the time here on Odyssey, KNSS, and some other stations as well.
Yeah, KNSS, obviously, from a radio perspective, will provide any kind of coverage for the Wichita Metro. So if we've got bad weather coming in, you know, the entire crew over there on KNSS and, you know, all the folks that are involved with that will keep everybody apprised of whatever's happening.
All right, let's set the table for the Royals here, Tommy, because it was a bad weekend. We'll dig into the baseball itself, but just right off the top, if you missed it, it was a very busy weekend. We get it. Congrats to all our graduates out there. The Royals sent both Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans to the IL. Now, Noah Cameron alleviated the first part of that very well. I joked with Tommy. I said, we didn't realize he was Tom Glavine, apparently, because he's in two starts now. He's been very, very good. But Noah Cameron will help, so that's good. They'll just have to adjust here. Look, we've said this a billion times, and we'll get into it in the next segment. This is why. These are the reasons. These are the things that make the struggles of the offense more concerning. Yes, the starting pitching has been otherworldly, but to ask it to do what it's done for the entirety of a season is, you know, I hope that it happens, but that's not a good way to plan for things, certainly. We have the Royals, and they're going to throw Avila, a guy I have not heard of. Luinder Avila is going to get the start in the Giants finale. Noah Cameron, we've now seen a couple times, but here we go, Tommy. Like, these are the things that you need the offense to be able to pick up the pitching. You know, your two co-aces are currently concurrently on the IL. Like, you're going to have to pick up the slack there. They go into a series with the Cardinals at home, and they score 5 runs over 3 games. And it's like rinse, wash, repeat, rinse, wash, repeat. We saw Jack Caglione over the weekend get called up to AAA. That's his next step. Who knows if he'll be up in time to help, and who knows what position he'll be able to help at. But, you know, the Royals they're kind of up against it right now, as they've lost 6 out of their last 9, I believe it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I think Noah Cameron, you know, gives you at least, some firepower in relief of, you know, one of those guys in the rotation for sure. But I think there are, you know, more questions than answers right now about what the Royals, what their game plan is going to end up being, with the rotation. And how long are we looking at a potential absence from really primarily Cole Reagans? I think Seth Lugo, I'm not sure that that's a long injury, a long stint on the IL. I know that he's got some finger inflammation and all of that. You know, you would think, or you would at least hope that Lugo will be back sooner rather than later. But with Reagans, that's a groin, you know, and that's something that can, you know, take a while to get back from. You know, can be an injury that could be nagging for a period of time. And so I wonder if you've got, you know, Lugo coming back relatively quickly, if they can then just fill that other hole with Noah Cameron moving forward until Reagans is ready to come back.
I think the reality is, like, I think they'll be okay pitching, but that's not their issue anyway, right? They're in fourth place right now. They have scored more runs than one team in the American League, and it's the White Sox, and it's barely. This offense is not going to be good enough in this division. It's not going to be good enough. They've beaten up on a lot of really bad teams, and they have not against average to good teams. It won't be good enough. So what can they do? Like, that's, and the pitching's going to amplify it. I hope that these guys can fill in, and probably, honestly, I think that they can. Like, I think these guys going to the IL, if they're both minimum stays, isn't going to be that big a deal. I think, especially with Noah Cameron doing what he's doing, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine versus I think they'll hold every opponent to 2 runs a game are 2 different things. That's not sustainable. So, like, It's a really good thing. They have a pitching staff that is capable of taking them to a World Series. I don't have any doubts about that. They absolutely, right now, on May 19th, almost 50 games into the season, do not have an offense that's capable of taking them to the World Series. I mean, that's the reality that we live in right now with the Royals. And it's only May 19th, and we keep saying it's too early to do something. But when you're in fourth place in a division that looks really good, is it ever too early to do something? Because I don't think it is. And I've been saying that for a week, but man, like how many series you've been, are you gonna watch?
I mean, come on, you've been saying that for like a month. And then look, I get it. I'm not saying that you're wrong by any means about what the Royals should be doing or shouldn't be doing. I think the major thing about it, in my opinion, is that what you can always go and make a move. Like, you know, JJ Piccolo can start working the phones today and can probably find some kind of trade partner for something. But the asking price is going to be a whole lot higher on May 19th than it will be on July 19th for whoever it is you're going to go and talk to. And so you've got to balance that. You've got to balance the pressing current needs right now with what you're potentially going to be giving up to make something like that happen.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the games themselves this weekend. We'll get into it. We'll go Royals heavy here off the top today on Sports Daily. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you on this Monday. It's Jacob Albrock. It's Tommy Caster. We're talking Royals. Tough weekend. 5 runs in the 3 games against the Cardinals. Cardinals had been playing well. You salvaged the series, though, yesterday. Drew Waters with a big hit. Let me start here, Tom. The Royals, and you're right, I have been saying this for a month. It would be okay if I did, I think this division race is going to be really, really, really difficult all the way through, like starting a while ago. And I don't think their schedule is going to be like right now. They've been taking advantage of the parts of the schedule that they need to be taking advantage of. But as it's turned over here, the last 3 series, they've lost all 3 series, and it gets harder. Like, it gets more difficult over the next month or so. And I haven't even looked at July yet, but June is a monster. And so that's where the concern is for me, like that this thing, until they have time to get whatever it is that they're going to do together, that in this division, they're going to fall too far behind. Like, we're looking right now and they're 5.5 games back, and they're in fourth place in the AL Central right now. So that to me is what is been sticking in my, and I was, you know, it was before Minnesota even got hot. It's like, man, this division's going to be really good. They're going to have a hard time. So just to take us back, and look, it's not the front office's fault. Let me say that as well. Like, we're brainstorming constantly here on the show of things they can do. It's not their fault. It's the players' fault. Like, the players have to hit. They have a good enough on-paper lineup. You, before the season, said they needed a corner outfield bat. That was correct, but it's been much more than that, right? Like, the offense is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So, first and foremost, it's on the players. I just don't want anybody to think I'm, like, mad at J.J. Piccolo. I'm not at all. I think there's some urgency needed there. So they ran out the typical lineup in two of the games, and then yesterday they changed it up again, and they hit Salvi third. Vinny hit, what was it, sixth? Yeah, sixth. They moved Canna up. They tried to break him up. Salvi and Vinny actually had some hits yesterday, right? Like, they were at least doing a little something at the plate, but it still wasn't enough. So, I don't know. I feel like they're slumping. I feel like they just need to snap out of it. I do think at some point the offense wakes up a little bit. But, man, I don't know how much more. Because, we're like 50 games into this season, and they are basically the worst offense in the American League. And it's not particularly close right now. They've got to, like, I don't think it's too crazy to be overly aggressive now. I mean, if you're the Royals and you think you should be a postseason team, because I don't know that you can run this pitching back either, right? Like, they were able to run this rotation back and keep a lot of these guys. I don't know if that's going to happen again. So I'm a little, like, I think there is some urgency with this team this year, for sure.
I think there is too, because on paper, you've got a fairly complete team, I mean, especially from a pitching perspective. And when healthy, they're one of the best pitching staffs in all of Major League Baseball. There are clear deficiencies in the lineup, and there have been since day one. I mean, as soon as we kind of knew what this team was going to look like offensively, I remember saying, I don't think that's enough. I think that they need more. And really, the Royals have tried to make work what they have currently on their roster. And it hasn't panned out, especially from an outfield position, especially when you've got guys that are slumping that typically don't slump and that you have to rely on to be run producers, and they're not really able to do that. You know, it's pretty sad. At one point in the game yesterday, I believe it was in the fourth inning, Burleson for the Cardinals hit a solo shot, and it was a 1-0 game. And I'm like, well, there goes the ball game. It was a 1-0 game in the fourth inning. And ultimately, the Royals were able to make it work. And Drew Waters had a triple. And Michael Garcia drove him in. And that, you know, was all she wrote. But it's pretty terrifying when an opponent gets out to even a 1-0 lead. And you're like, man, I'm not sure how the Royals are going to be able to generate runs. And they're down 1-0. And the game isn't even halfway over yet. There's a name that hasn't been brought up, at least on this program, and I'm not sure really if it's been talked about much at all. If you need a scapegoat, and I have no idea if this is fair, unfair, whatever, but if you need a scapegoat for all of this and something to maybe wake the team up, Alex Zumwalt is the hitting coach on this team. And we've seen it happen multiple times before. Rangers, in fact, it happened this year with the Rangers. They fired their hitting coach early on in the season when they were not producing. Now, I don't know. You follow the Rangers more closely than I do. I don't know if they've been able to turn it around offensively at all.
Not particular. They've been picking it up. They've had a bunch of injuries. But they've also been one of the more disappointing offenses in the league, for sure.
And sometimes that sort of thing happens. Sometimes you might need a fall guy. You might need somebody to fall on the sword to wake up the players. And you said it fully falls on the players. And you know what it does? They're the ones that are out there executing or not executing. But you do have a guy whose sole purpose on this team is to be the hitting coach and to develop these hitters and to make sure that they're putting themselves in great situations. I'm not sure if Alex Zumwalt has been able to do that or not this season. Probably not. And so if you need a fall guy, if you need something to try to, you know, shake things up or wake the team up, that might be an avenue to take a look at.
I think you could think about it. That's a hard one. I mean, it would be on the table for me. Those are things you got to have a little closer connection than you are. We could ask Jalen Thompson that, who's around him every day, to kind of see what that might shake up. So I that's the kind of stuff you have to look at, right? And I don't want anybody to lose their job or anything like that. But yeah, the team has to wake up offensively. Like, they just have to, or it's not going to work. The good news for them is that Cleveland is also struggling right now, so that's helpful. But I honestly, like, we keep looking at the AL Central, and I think that more than anything just tells you there will be fewer chances for, you know, to play bad teams or whatever. But really, kind of everybody in the American League's pretty good, right? Like, if you look right now, the Yankees will be a contender. The Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Rays will all probably stay contenders and competitive and relevant in at least the wild card chase. Obviously, Detroit is, who I believe, yeah, they're still holding on to their grasp, is the best team in baseball this year, if you're not paying attention. Minnesota and Cleveland certainly will be in it. Kansas City will obviously be in it, but so will Seattle, Houston, Texas, and maybe even the A's. Like, there are really, like, right now, Baltimore looks like it's not, they're not going to be able to get it turned around. Like, I don't know what's going on there. That's the strangest story in baseball to me. But Baltimore, Chicago, and probably the Angels aren't for real. That, you know, like, everybody else is going to be competitive in a wild card for a while. So, and at least for a month. So if you're looking at, like, trade candidates right now, the trade candidates that are there are the trade candidates. Like, I don't know how much they're going to change because everybody's going to kind of be in it. Like, it'll be a good year to be a seller because everybody's kind of in it. Go to the National League, it's a little more, you know, cut out. Pittsburgh's not going to contend. Colorado, obviously. Miami is not. Washington might not, but Washington's not going to be a seller. They're chock full of loaded with great young talent and everything else. I doubt they do much. So I just don't think there's going to be a lot of candidates to make a trade anyway. So if that's the path you're going, I don't think the market's going to change much over the next month.
But by that logic, I mean, you say that it's a good time to be a seller. I mean, that means that, and I don't disagree with you. I think you're right on that being a seller is more advantageous with the market this year than in other years. That just means that the asking price is going to be even higher. It just means that there's going to be probably even more competition
now than it will be in a month.
I think so. I think it will be because I think the teams that are selling, you know, like take a look at a team like Colorado, for example. What do they have to lose by holding on to their guys for another month?
Sure.
Right. Like, I think that they can ask for the world in return for whoever it is on their roster. I mean, and I'm not even just talking about the situation with the Royals and what the Royals might want to do. I'm just talking about anybody in general that might be looking at trading right now. The Rockies can ask for whatever they want and say, I mean, look, the price is the price. If you want this guy right now, great. This is what it's going to take. If not, we'll still be here. We're going to hang out and we'll just see how the market unfolds and develops. I mean, I think that it is going to be, and it currently is, a seller's market in Major League Baseball. But there are two teams. Like, so if the Royals feel like they need to be uber aggressive right now, side note, JJ Piccolo has never struck me as that kind of guy that is going to be uber aggressive / panicked to go out and make trades like in the middle of May. He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. But let's just say for this exercise, he does and decides that he wants to do that. There are two teams, the Rockies and the Orioles, that I think you could probably call right now. And if you absolutely had to, get a deal done. I mean, take a look at the Orioles, for example, probably the most disappointing team in Major League Baseball. And they are chock full of outfielders. They just fired Brandon Hyde. They've got a handful of guys that if they're going to be sellers, that they could move. Like, you know, we've talked about him before, but like Cedric Mullins could be a guy that you could pick up the phone and call and give you instant production right now. Do I think JJ Piccolo will do that? No, I don't. But if he did, those would be the two teams that I would look at. Two teams that have already fired their managers that are clearly, you know, out of it and not going to get back into it.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for Piccolo when he pulled the trigger on. Was Harvey the first one? No, it wasn't.
No,
it
was Harvey. I think Harvey was the first one, and that was like 2 weeks before the trade deadline or 3 weeks before the trade deadline last year. It wasn't like it was in May. I mean, we're talking like middle of July, like around the All-Star break.
Yeah, I have Urcig end of July, and I think that's right. I think he was right at the beginning of July, and Urcig was at the end of July, and we really
It was July 13th that the Royals traded for Hunter Harvey. So we're talking All-Star break.
I don't know that they can wait 2 months to do something.
I just don't think there might be other things that they do. You know, for instance, they move up Jack Caglione to AAA. I think that's a more likely scenario than JJ Piccolo going and making a trade in the month of May.
Well, and I think it's better option too. I think sometimes you have to be careful with being willing to trade quality assets to fix a problem, especially when you're a team like the Royals. I'm not ignorant to the fact that the Royals have to be more careful than a lot of teams do. So, like, Noah Cameron, if he has a bunch of good starts, great. And I've said this before, there's a trade asset potentially, right? Well, you've got, you know, starting pitchers who pushed themselves last year to innings limits and all these things. Now you need Noah Cameron. So you've got to be careful there too. You'd have to bring it. Like, if you're going to give up pieces that could help this franchise down the road, it has to be for, no doubt about it, controllable players. And I think that the problem is going to become that those types of pieces, A, are not really available because these teams that are bad don't really have them. And B, they're going to be really expensive if they do. Like, they'll have bullpen arms everybody's interested in. The Royals shouldn't need that. They should need a bat. So they're not going to, in my opinion, go out there and find any bat on the market that is realistic for them to acquire that will be better than Jack Caglione. They're not, I don't think. More impactful, potentially, any of that. He may come up and you may have to deal with the fact that he's a rookie. And okay, right? Because I'd rather deal with watching him, like, learn the ropes and struggle a little bit than Renfroe, for instance, or an older guy where it's like, what are we, like, what's going to come? Like, what are we waiting for now at this point? So, and if they refuse to put him in the outfield for whatever reason, to hell with it. Just bring him up and let him hit 3 days a week. I don't care what it is. Let Vinny go play left field, see if he can handle it. You know, let Salvi catch a little more. Like, whatever it is, there, like, we've seen this now for the entire, we've seen it for 50 games, that this offense is not going to be good enough. And I don't think it magically is. And I don't think that the pieces out there are going to line up with what the Royals even want to do in the first place. So we saw Jack Caglione called up to AAA, and like that's the piece we got to watch. I don't know if anybody else in the minor leagues is hitting right now. Quite frankly, I have no idea. I haven't looked at like what Omaha's up to, but that's got to be the move, and they've got to do everything they can over the, and I don't know how much longer, like, give him 2 weeks in AAA. And if he hits like he's hitting in AA, like, that's enough. Because a lot of times prospects of his pedigree, they don't even go to AAA. They just jump right up and get in there. And I think that, you know, that's the only thing I can think of that's really potentially impactful right now for this team, other than the guys in the lineup doing what they're supposed to do, right? Like, that's the real thing that needs to happen. But other than that, like, Cags is going to be a better option than anything they can trade for.
I totally agree. I think that I would give really, really, really good odds that the Royals will not make a trade before, I don't know, July 1st.
Let's do it this way. Will the Royals make a trade before they call up Jack Caglione?
No, I don't think they will. I think that, yeah. I think that that's the path. Because again, I'm not saying that, I do think having Caglione in the lineup and on the big league roster is a better option. Number one, I'm not saying that it wouldn't be a good idea to at least, you know, look around and be a sure buyer with other teams and talk trades and that sort of thing. I just think it's unlikely, knowing J.J. Piccolo. I know that he was active at the trade deadline and slightly before the trade deadline last year, but he seems like a very thoughtful guy and not a shoot from the hip and go and try to make a trade on May 19th type guy. I just don't see that happening. And so, I mean, take a look at somebody, and I just mentioned his name before, a guy like Cedric Mullins, who is a name in Major League Baseball. He's had a good career, you know, up to this point, has played pretty well for the Orioles. I think that, like, let's say that J.J. Piccolo goes crazy and decides to trade for him. I think that tells you a lot about what they feel like they've got this year, because Mullins is an unrestricted free agent after this year. Like, there is no control for him whatsoever after this season. You're basically acquiring a rental. That has really not been the J.J. Piccolo MO, because I think he knows who the Royals are. I think he knows that, you know, look, like, we've got to have homegrown talent, controllable talent, all of that. And that's another reason why a guy like Jack Caglione is a better option than going and trading for a big name player on another team right now.
He came up with Dayton Moore, though, and Dayton Moore wasn't afraid to do that, to push his chips in when they felt like they were really ready. So I look, I don't know. I just like, for me, it's what player is going to be out there that that is a sure thing. I don't know if it's going to be there. I think there are too many contenders. Like I it's just going to be difficult. Again, like the thing that's got to happen is the team itself just has to get hot. I can't, like, it's impossible to imagine a world where that can't happen, because we saw it so often last year. It just hasn't happened through 50 games. I don't think this is ever going to be, outside of Caglione getting called up and immediately being impactful and like not needing any time to acclimate, which is unlikely, but possible. I don't think this becomes anything more than a league average offense. But how much would you take a league average offense right now? I mean, it would be like, it'd be like, oh God, thank you, finally. Like, that'll be enough because the pitching's so good and deep and everything else that it is. So we'll watch Cags in AAA now, like with a microscope. What's his line tonight, right? Like, that's how we're going to have to treat this, because it's just, it's going to be the best option. It might be the only option. And the Royals, in the meantime, have a gauntlet of a schedule that's about to get underway that they're going to have to try to navigate. It'll be interesting to see what Cotrero can do. Again, like, mix up the lineup, do all these other little minor things we've talked about. That those don't solve the fundamental issue. The only thing that does that is, you know, Vinny and Salvi hit for some power. We've said it. We've mentioned it. I really, like, there's a decent chance Salvi doesn't feel 100% with his hip or whatever. But he was 2-for-4 yesterday. Good signs. And we look around the rest of the world of sports, and Max is our hockey aficionado here. So before we look at some of the other stuff, Max, hockey, where do we sit in the Stanley Cup playoffs? I saw that our Winnipeg Jets went down and our Toronto Maple Leafs went down. Well, so we're
at least
all
Winnipeg
out
put up a
here.
Fight. They're going to break up. The Maple Leafs will be broken up. They have to. But the Jets,
well, listen,
the Jets game is good. You know, the first goal
went to overtime, right?
Yeah, the first goal that tied it for when Dallas tied it. If the goalie was standing up, he would have hit him in the chest. But I'm sorry, I gave you bad advice.
That's Max. Listen, don't be. It's fine. I will tell you though that I am obligated now, because a buddy became a rampant in the middle of the season Hurricanes fan for no reason. I'll tell you how that happened, and this is what I love about hockey. It was the USA-Canada rivalry series. What was that called? Whatever they called that. Frozen.
Four Nation.
Four
Nation.
Whatever it was. Frozen Four. I don't know what it was called. Doesn't matter. Those games got him fired. He's like, that's it. I'm an NHL guy. I'm going to go find it a team. And he told everybody he's going to be a Hurricanes fan. So now I'm obligated to go for them and just pretend like I'm a Hurricanes fan. They'll play the Panthers, right? And Edmonton is Canada's last hope to break the streak against the Dallas Stars, a team I'm also fond of. So that'll be it. We'll see how that plays out this week.
Doesn't Max owe you a new driver now, because he?
Yeah, that's how that works, Max.
He gave you the advice for the Jets, and you took it, and now he's got to buy you a new driver,
or a used one, or not. I think I don't know that I can. Tommy, well, everybody, not just Tommy, makes fun of my driver because it's, boy, I don't know when that thing came out. Probably 2007. It's one of the, you'll probably remember them too, if you've ever played golf. They're the square Nike drivers. Yeah. It sounds like a aluminum baseball bat.
Yeah. That's the thing that is most notable about it, is the sound it makes off of the ball hitting the club face, like the ding. It's interesting.
So doesn't it work anymore?
It works fine. I don't hit it as hard probably as I could if I got it, like all the new technology of a driver. But every time I play, I'm like, you know what? As I'm hitting from the fairway, because I can hit that club usually straight as an arrow, is me being 20 yards further down the fairway for my game right now as it currently stands really going to change all that much?
Yes,
it will eventually.
No, I think it will now. I think part of it too
A 6-iron doesn't make much of a difference.
Yeah, but part of it too is the fact that, you know, I'd say maybe 20% of the time. You tell me if my percentage is right here. 20% of the time you're hitting a range ball instead of hitting
20? No, just if there's water involved usually.
You do realize that those range balls are like distance limited. That's why they.
Yeah.
So
I only hit range balls if I'm hitting over water. That's it.
Right. But you're basically hitting a worse golf ball, not just in the way it looks, but in the performance of it. You're sacrificing your game when you do that.
I'm also potentially not sacrificing a ball. So when those are out, and listen, so this is fun. At Crestview, shout out to Crestview for being great supporters of the show. Like, if we're on the north course, the range ball comes out a little more often because there's a whole lot more water in play than the south course. I'm on the south course, I rarely use them because I'm not hitting over water. I just get so aggravated when I hit into the water that I'm like, no, I'm not going to waste a good ball.
You're about one step away in the cheapskate factor.
He's there.
To where you're going to start like showering with your clothes on so you're also doing your laundry at the same time.
I'm going to help
you,
Jake.
You're right there.
Like, I know my game. I don't want to lose nice balls.
Here's what you do. Instead of buying the driver, get those balls with the extra dimples, the illegal flight balls.
Yeah, you can do one of those.
There you go. No one's going to know.
Yeah.
Wait, what are they?
They have balls. Don't they have balls with extra dimples? They fly falls.
Oh, yeah. They're illegal. They're not conforming. They don't fit in the rules of golf. But apparently they're supposed to fly farther. I would rather you use one of those than use a range ball, which looks real trashy. If I'm going
to
use a
slice, to me, I don't care. See,
I know you don't care, but the rest of us that play golf with you do care.
Well, listen, I tell my kids all the time, you can't control what other people think. So you just kind of don't have to worry about it. The thing in my game that got I got a 56 finally, and it's like made a huge impact. That's where like I get.
Wait, you
smashed.
Shot a 56? Oh, a 56 degree wedge. Okay.
Oh, I've shot lots of 56s. Yeah. Yes, lots of them. Not lately. Hey, I fired a 43 on the front nine of Crestview last week. Didn't have time to play the back nine, so we're just going to pretend that I would have shot a 43 then on the back nine to follow that up, and that would have been the best round.
How many times did the foot wedge come out in that nine holes?
That one, no. I haven't. The only thing I would have done is like a breakfast ball early because I didn't have time to warm up, and I think I hit one that way. But it wasn't. It was legit. I wouldn't have sent it to you if it was a foot wedge driven, score. That doesn't mean anything, and I won't follow it up with anything. We're just, bits and pieces, and driver's fine. I don't think that's going to be the thing that saves my game just yet, but I'll find one. I kind of like going out and playing golf with Tommy and embarrassing him with my aluminum bat driver and pulling out a range ball to hit over the water. So I don't lose my, my used ball I get from some academy or something. Like when I get good, I'll have nice things.
You
but
do,
until then, I'm
you
not
do recognize,
myself.
You do recognize though, that you can get a box of really cheap golf balls that actually perform like normal. They're not range balls. You're like, I don't want to get rid of a nice golf ball. You can get like a Wilson golf ball or like a Max Fly or go
That's
get
what
like,
I have in the bag.
Go get like the Kirkland Costco brand box of golf balls. Like those are all really cheap. And then you're not pulling out a range ball to hit during a, which by the way, when I've played golf with you before, if I actually cared about this as much as it, I really don't, it's just more embarrassing than anything else. You would get penalized like multiple times. Like I would call penalties on you. You cannot switch out your ball in the middle of a hole like that. Like that's a two-stroke penalty every time you do that in the rules of golf. I'm not calling you on it. Because we're just having fun.
Can't you putt with a different ball though?
I don't think you can switch out your golf ball at all in the middle of a hole, like unless you lose it, unless you genuinely cannot. Right, but you cannot pick up a golf ball in the middle of the fairway and drop a range ball down so you can hit it over water. That is against the rules of the game of golf.
Most of the time, it's off the tee. But yeah, I get you. I get you.
I'm going to look this up during the break. I actually think playing with a range ball in general is illegal.
I just have to finish with the range ball.
I think playing with a range ball in general is illegal, but I'm going to look it up.
Probably is. I'm probably going to get a call from Crestview like, hey, and no, I don't go take them. They're the ones that are like strays out in the middle of the course that I'm like, oh, hey, look, a range ball. I'll use this one to hit over that water. But speaking of golf, I don't think Scotty Scheffler is prone to need a range ball in his bag to hit over water. Did you think after the first couple of rounds there, Tommy, that Scotty was going to be in a position to win this one? Man, he shot up that leaderboard late. I kind of wasn't paying that much of. We saw Sam Stevens, of course, have a great Friday, and we're like, oh man, Sam, like I wasn't really expecting that from Scotty, and he sure went and took it. And then, of course, on Sunday, he's just so smothering; nobody can catch him when he's on like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of lingering in the leaderboard early in the day on Saturday, and then it was really the end of the round on Saturday, the end of the third round, when he shot up the leaderboard. And all of a sudden, he enters into the final round on Sunday with, I think, a 3-stroke lead. It's almost kind of like what we talked about early in the show about the Royals are down 1-0, and you're like, man, they're not going to come back. That I felt that way about the rest of the field as soon as Scotty had a 3-stroke lead. Like, there you go. You know, like, Scotty's going to win himself a third major and his first PGA championship. And it was a lot more interesting than that. I mean, there was a moment in time when John Rahm tied Scheffler. Yep. Scheffler didn't have a great front nine yesterday, and Rahm was kind of on fire. But then Rahm faded away, and Bryson DeChambeau faded away, and Scotty birdied a couple of holes on the back nine, and that was all she wrote. I think it solidifies Scotty as, you know, I'd say that there are probably three top golfers right now in the game of golf. And those three guys are Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Bryson DeChambeau. Those three guys right now are the cream of the crop. You know, DeChambeau was in the final grouping at the Masters. He won the U.S. Open last year. He's been right there in the mix in major championships. We obviously know what Rory did at Augusta, and then Scottie wins himself another major. So it's really those three guys and then everybody else kind of looking up at them.
Scottie is above all of that. I was actually surprised that it's only three. He's 28, so he's, you know, he's not old at all. But I was surprised, like, it's only three. But he has so many wins. So we judge golf by majors and everything else. And yeah, like, when I get it. Like, his greatness is that when he is in front, it feels impossible to catch him because he's not going to go out and bogey a bunch of holes. How, like, what are we putting, like, and because I think the vibe right now for him as a more casual observer for sure is that he's got the best chance to be like the next great one. We've had a lot of good ones, but he's got the chance to be the next great one, right? That we're talking about in that upper echelon that we really haven't had since Tiger. We thought it would be Rory, and then it kind of wasn't Rory. It feels like Scheffler's got the best shot of Jordan Spieth. Had a minute where we thought it was going to be Jordan Spieth. But is Scheffler, like, is he there yet for most, like, golf fans? And because to me, it feels like he is.
Yeah, he's there for sure. I mean, he's won two green jackets at Augusta and then obviously picks up the Wanamaker Trophy with the PGA Championship. No, he's there, and he's got a lot of time left. I mean, he's 28, you know, he's in his 20s right. Still. He's younger than Rory. He's younger than Bryson, I believe, you know, so he's got time to do that for sure. You know, and I thought John Rahm, you know, remember, he's won a green jacket also.
He's former number one. What?
Former number one. Like, he's before, probably before Scotty, he's probably right there too. I mean, he's probably fourth, you know, as far as top golfers in the world right now. So, no, I do think Scotty is there. He really had not played particularly well leading up to the PGA Championship. And I think there were some questions about whether or not he was going to be able to make it happen anytime soon. But he did. And he looked really good. And the thing about Scotty, we've talked about it before, is when he's under pressure, he just locks in and he doesn't make mistakes. He didn't have a great front nine, but when it mattered the most, the back nine on Sunday, he showed why he is the number one golfer in the world right now.
Shout out to Sam Stevens. Had a, you know, didn't finish the weekend strong, but boy, he had a good first couple of rounds. He continues to be a name this year on the tour. He's having a really, really good year. So, you know, we'll continue to watch him.
By the way, I looked it up. According to the USGA, if you use a different golf ball at any point during a hole that you play, that's a 2-stroke penalty. So it does. Oh. You can pick
USGA
up your ball.
USGA rules. USGA rules.
But they govern the PGA. Yeah, they govern the game of golf. Like they govern
I
all of that.
I play by the
you you play by Jacob's rules of golf.
I play by farm boy rules. Yeah. That's what I play by. All right, we'll come back. Second hour of Sports Daily. Keep it here.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.